This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Biblical Christian Living Part 4, was delivered on February 16th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And we just thank you for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Go ahead, ushers. Woo! What a beautiful morning. Welcome, Norma and Vera. Welcome back home from your travels. It's good to have you back. I know Norman, first thing he came with his dessert to sweeten us up a little bit. Thank you, Norman. Hey, so last week, Saturday, we did some work out there, the men and the women. You know, we cut a bunch of trees down and we made a big whole pile of mulch. We left some trenches in the nice grass, but that's okay. So this morning I come, there's a letter in the classroom for all of us. It says, Dear Pastor Scott, aloha kākou to you and your church, Ohana, New Hope, East Hawaii. We would like to take this opportunity to say a heartfelt mahalo nui loa for the work you did to beautify our campus. We know that it took time and certainly a lot of physical work to take on those huge trees. So you see those huge trees we took down, and those who stayed and came and helped, you know, it took a toll on our bodies, yeah? Man, it was like, by 3 o'clock, we were like, they were looking at me like, hey, enough already, I'm tired. And I was looking like, yeah, enough already, I'm tired. Just cut those last trees, drop them on the ground, and we're done. Because at 3 o'clock, my body didn't want to move anymore. It says, this was indeed a labor of love and blessing to Christian Liberty Academy. Incidentally, February is designated as the month we emphasize kindness and love to our CLA students. Of course, that is our goal each day, and your gift of love is a perfect example for our keiki and for our staff and staff members. We appreciate the hard work and your kindness. Once again, mahalo from a grateful CLA administration staff. And they put this scripture from 1 John 3:18. Dear children, friends, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. So thank you for all of you who came and helped us cut those trees. And if anybody wants to tackle that last 50 feet or so, let me know. But I will work side by side with you and not just say go ahead and not show up. But I came yesterday and I sprayed poison on all those stumps because God knows I don't want it to grow back thicker, man. Right? So if anybody, maybe in a month or so, wants to tackle that last half, let me know and we'll get a team together and we'll continue to beautify. Because I told the principal when he came and he just said, wow. That's all he could say. But I told him, well, this is our home too. And said, yes, thank you. And we share. So thank you guys for coming and helping us. And we did that. We cleaned the container. We put lights in the container now. So in the morning, we don't have to come with our fishing headlamps to see what we're getting. When we turn on the lights, all the spiders run away. So that's a good thing. Yes. Whew. Okay. So we are in our last week of biblical Christian living. And we're looking at the one another's verses in the Bible, which really, if you know this Bible, man, it's been like a year or so since I went back to the Bible instead of using the Bible app, and I just love going through these pages. And I mean, yeah, my Bible looks new because this Bible is only about a year old, and I've been going through it and hasn't fallen apart yet, but I'm getting there. And I just love turning through these pages and marking it up and reading it and highlighting it. It's like when I get to get in this word, it's like it's so refreshing to hear the truth and to read about the promises. And you know, we're at the ending part of Acts now, where Paul is arrested again, and he's just keeps sharing his testimony again and again to all these kings and these leaders, and he's falsely accused, and he just over and over again get to share his faith. And so this with everyone this morning I was reading about Paul, and he's standing before King Agrippa, and he's sharing his life story. And King says, pretty soon you're going to try and persuade me to become a Christian. I said, yes. Isn't that the goal? That everyone we come across, we kind of like share our testimony, our life story. And hopefully there's like, wow, that's how you was and that's what you are now? It's like, wow, what a change. And sometimes when I tell people my story, they're just like, whoa, really? Wow, you was pretty rotten. And I was like, I was. And I said, thank God that he got a hold of me and he changed me before it was too late. But I don't think it's ever too late to make a change. Amen. And so when we read the Bible, and they say that the Bible is the mind of God in print, and it teaches us how to live correctly and what is wrong, what is wrong thinking, what is right thinking, good morals, bad morals, right behaviors, wrong behaviors. And that's what the Bible will do. It's a thing that will convict of a sin. If we're living in sin or we're doing something that is sinful, it'll reveal truth to us. And that's the good thing. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writes this, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So although the Bible was written by men, it said it was God-breathed or inspired by God. As 2 Timothy says, all scriptures inspired by God is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God will be equipped adequate for every good work. And that's what the Bible is. And Paul said that the word of God will continue to work in a believer's lives. And Paul knew that God's words are not just sermons or documents, but the word of God has the source of transforming power. The Bible that you hold in your hands is full of real and living power. The words in here, when you read it, you understand it, you apply it, man, it will transform your life. So I encourage you, read it. Read it every day. Encourage others to read it every day. Even if you have non-Christian friends, encourage them to read it. Because when they read it, they'll come to you with questions. What do they mean? And when you can read and understand and apply this word that was written by men, inspired by God, when you can read, understand, and apply it, I promise you, you will never, never be the same. I mean, it's been 20 years since I started reading this word. And it has transformed the way I live, the way I think. It's working on the way I drive, So, and it's working on me in that way. So, as we continue to look at the one another's in the Bible, understand that I want us to see this as a way that we should live with one another, treat one another, pray for one another, love one another. And today, we're going to talk about encouragement. Encourage each other and build one another up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Okay, so we're told that you and I, we need to encourage one another, right? So those of you in the back, how will you encourage those of us in the front? And those of us in the front, how will we encourage the ones in the back? And I thought of this. How would we do that? Well, if we had a church directory with pictures in it, man, we could just say, hey, I was thinking of that person. I don't know their name, but I know what they look like. Oh, there it is. And I was sleeping, and I was thinking about this person. And now I know his picture, and I have their phone number. I can send them a text. Hang in there. God spoke to me. He said, hang in there, and I'm praying for you. Oh, how would you like to get a text like that from somebody you don't know? Man, I said, I'm praying for you. God told me you might be going through something, and I just want to let you know that I am praying for you. I would love to get texts like that. It's like, yes, thank you. Encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, therefore encourage each other with these words. What words? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17, here's the words. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, maybe those who die, or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. So he's telling you, we use these words to encourage one another. Tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So he is saying, encourage each other that, man, in Christ there is hope. In Christ, there is hope of eternal life, forgiveness of sin. Encourage them with these words. You have friends who don't come to church. You have friends who have not accepted Christ. You have friends, believe it or not, they might be at the end of their rope with no hope. But encourage them with this word that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior. There is hope of forgiveness of the sins that you have done. There is hope. Encourage them that it's not hopeless. Even though this world projects it's like doom and gloom, climate change and everything is coming to an end, but there is hope. There is hope in life after here in Jesus Christ. Encourage people with that hope. Because the Thessalonians were wondering why some of their fellow believers had died and what would happen to them when Christ returned. And Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that death is not the end of their story. Death here on this earth for us is not the end. I think of death here on earth is like the beginning. And it's the beginning for a place or a thing. What the Bible tells us, like, there's how you like to go through life with no more pain. You know, those of us who are like 57 or older, when we were cutting trees, man, the next day my shoulders were like sore. I don't know about anybody else, but I think maybe I'm the only one moaning and groaning and deep heat on my back and my shoulders for 2 days. And so, you know, the hope is that one day in heaven, we're not going to be mourning and groaning. We're not going to have coronavirus. We're not going to have migraines, arthritis, cancer. Man, I mean, that's the hope that we get to believe in, to live in. And that's why it is important for you and I to encourage one another, to share this hope, this message of salvation. Not with just our loved ones, okay? But those who may not be our loved ones, those who are lost, those who are hopeless, those who are dying. You know, you may have some relatives in the hospital, you may have some relatives who go to oncology every week and sit in that chair. and get chemotherapy. Man, that's a great chance to go sit down with them and pray for them. I remember when James was growing up, I would go visit him when I could. And one of our ladies who went to Pune, Auntie Stacy, I would go and sit with them and pray with them and hang out with them for an hour or so. And when I did that, a couple of the nurses there ended up in our churches. But we get to encourage one another. I mean, you think about it. Is it hard to encourage somebody? It's very easy, right, John? It's very easy. I mean, sometimes we look at all the things that they do wrong, right? You know, like when your paper comes back in school, mine was covered with red ink. What just covered was like minus 90. What? Why couldn't you put plus 10? I got 10 correct. But that's how culture is. Minus 90, all red, all over. Oh, so discouraging. If they said, oh, you got 10% correct, whoo, makes it would have been, I got something correct. One of them was my name. Yeah. But the Bible says, encourage one another. I mean, you could look to the person to the left or to the right and say, hey, you're looking terrific today. Right? How hard would that be? Not hard at all. Okay, so what about the next one? Encourage one another daily. How often is daily? Yes. As often every day, as often as during the day. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day. I mean, any of you get tired of receiving encouragement? I don't. Encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another day after day. You know, when you sit down and you see them reading their Bible, encourage them. Day after day. I love this one. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Man, let's have a good deed doing contest. Yeah? Let's see who can do the most good deeds. Let's outdo each other. Spur one another on. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How can you stimulate one another towards love and good deeds? Well, some of us, we like to sit down and do our devotions together. And we encourage one another towards love and good deeds. We encourage one another. When I do devotions in the morning with some of the high school boys, you should hear what they share out of their devotions. You would be truly impressed at what God speaks to them through their morning time during the devotions. And if you're interested, Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, Blaine's in Orchidland. I mean, right, Randy, you hear those boys, those young boys, they're like amazing. And we tag on to that and we encourage them how they can apply it when they go to school. So not forsaking our own assembly together as some are in the habit. So we don't not come to church, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So again, daily, encourage, stimulate. Think of ways that you can encourage one another. I was hanging out with Jennifer's daughter, Genesis, this morning, and she said, I had to wash dishes 3 times this week. And I can understand as a kid, you don't want to wash dishes. But I said, you know, being that you had dishes, that means you had food. That means daddy and mommy cooked food for you, and you had a plate to eat it on. Therefore, you had dishes to wash. If you didn't have any food to eat, you wouldn't have no dishes to wash. And just like washing laundry, you could go around naked all day, but that would be bad. And you wouldn't have to wash any clothes. So I tried to encourage her, like, look at things from a different perspective. You got dishes to wash. That means you had some grinds. And I know James and Jennifer, they can cook. So they're going to cook you some good stuff. And they're going to put them on one plate. And then you get to wash the dishes. And even if it was on paper plate, you can say, well, I had to empty rubbish 3 times this week. But that means you had a paper plate to eat off of, right? So if you think of ways to encourage people, like my daughter, I'm not going to say which one, okay? When they brought home bad grades, you know, like when you bring home an F, instead of, I used to get lickings, okay? And I learned from that. Because if I would tell them you can get lickings, they're going to run away from home like I did. That's not a good thing. So when they brought home a bad grade, like an F, I said, wow, you have so much potential. Because if you brought them an A, you couldn't do any better than that, right? But you got an F, you look how far, you look how much potential you get. You have great potential. Encourage them instead of like, oh, you can get cracked. Get an F. Lickens. That's not encouraging. Yeah? Spur one another. Speak to one another. In Ephesians 5:19, speak to another, one another with psalms, with hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, that's the last encouragement one another that I found. So, as people of God, of people of Christ, we are commanded to encourage one another all day, every day. Amen? And if you think, you know, that's why when you come down to water baptism, even if you already got baptized, man, you come down there and you cheer them on. When we introduce them, you roar like, yeah. And when they come out of the water, you roar again. It's encouraging. Your family is there to support you. And the last one, hospitality. Greet one another with the holy kiss. Usually like that's like part of our culture. You notice that we greet everyone with the holy kiss when they come in. Romans 16:16, greet one another with the holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. You know, it's so good because some places on the mainland, you go to church and they say, hi, welcome. And they are as far away as from you as they can. Hi, welcome. And like, you're like, man, you just longing to come back home to your church so that you can get a hug and a kiss. As 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you with the holy kiss. Another with the holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with the holy kiss. And 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ. 3 times in the New Testament, we are told to greet one another with a holy kiss. Once with a kiss of love. Now, the holy kiss, I guess it would depend on the cultural background. Some greet their brethren with a kiss to the cheek. Some kissing of the hand. Some shaking the hand. Some hugging. You know, basically, the holy kiss is a godly greeting. Meaning, whatever contact you use, you greet each other in a godly manner. Genuine, sincere, without hidden agenda. You know, like, we're not going to go and look for the cutest girl to give them a holy kiss. That's like the wrong agenda, right? If you standing out there with me and you look, where she stay? Oh, she not come to this, shucks. That's like the wrong motive, okay? The holy kiss is pure, it's genuine, it's sincere. It's like, man, I am so happy to see you here today. Welcome. It's without malice and it's genuine. When you greet with the holy kiss, it's without intent to harm. Godly, genuine, passionate, hence the holy kiss. Yeah, and that's what we do. We greet, and that's part of our culture here. You know, some pastors on the mainland, you hear that, I will not hug another female other than my wife. It's like, wow, man, you would have a hard time living in Hawaii. You know, I read so many post on our Foursquare thing about multicultural services. You know, we've been doing this to welcome all the different cultures. Man, you should come to Hawaii because we do that every single day, every single week. We cross the cultural line, the racial line, and we greet one another. We love one another. And that's how we do it. And then a part of that, the hospitality, is offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Okay? How many of you have in-laws? How many of you, when your in-laws come, you know? Your in-law comes and they swipe your last beer, guys. Right? Your in-laws come, they eat the last deep-fried kole. Oh, beef. Or they come in your house with slippers. Oh. Yeah? Or they come in your house and they just spread out, put their feet up on the table, and, you know, you like grumble to your spouse now. Or when your neighbor comes to your house and, you know, hospitality. You know, your neighbor comes to your house, invites themselves in, opens your refrigerator. How's that? I mean, people do that at my house because I tell them, make yourselves at home, you know, because I don't want to have to be getting up every 5 minutes to get you a soda or something. So I say, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but say, go help yourself. That way you can come and go as you please. You know, your possessions, your status, your power will mean nothing in God's kingdom, but you'll spend eternity with people. So all the stuff you have in your house, if somebody comes in and touches it and messes it up, hospitality. You know, my daughter brought her friend over this week, and she had a little two-year-old, and she comes and she grabs all Christie's Disney puppets, and she's like running around with them, you know. And she's playing, taking out whatever toys we have. We have a little bit of toys for when children come out. And they take them all the time. The children come out, and they just take everything out, and, you know, we just enjoy it, you know. And their favorite one is, I think, Mr. Potato Head. And they just, how many of you had one of those? Yeah. And they come, and they take things out. They mess things up. And, well, you know, when my house gets messy, I love it. My wife doesn't, but I love it because that means there's people in the house. That means my children are home to mess up the house. Yes, and I love it when they come back home. So when we have to offer hospitality to one another, we need to do it without grumbling, because the things are going to be gone, but the relationships will be there forever. And they say Christian hospitality differs from social entertaining. Entertaining focuses on the host. Oh, my house got to be spotless. My counter's got to be clean. My stove has got to be clean. I got to have enough food. We must, as hosts, be relaxed and have everything in control, good-natured. Hospitality, by contrast, focuses on the guest's needs, such as a place to stay, nourishing food, a listening ear, or just acceptance. Hospitality can happen in a messy home. Woo! Praise the Lord! You heard that, honey? Hospitality can happen in a messy home, in a messy garage, in a messy truck. Woo! I love that. You know, because for a season, when I would go to other pastors' house, Pastor Anna, when I go to your mom and dad's house, it is spotless. When I would go to Pastor Steve's house, it would be spotless. And when I come home and look at my house, like, ooh, there's life in this house. Yes. I'll tell you the truth. I am not the neatest person. If you went to my house today, you would find my garage ground covered with sawdust, because I was cutting wood yesterday, And I didn't feel like sweeping it up. I said, God, whatever you want to blow away, blow it. And whatever's left today, I will sweep up. Hospitality can happen in a messy home. It can happen around a dinner table where the main dish came out of a can. Yes, it can. It can happen while the host and the guests are doing chores together. Anybody want to help me sweep? Hospitality right there. Don't hesitate to offer hospitality just because maybe you might be tired or too busy or not wealthy enough to entertain. Because hospitality focuses on the guests. So we need to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen? You know, sometimes we have guests over, and when we leave, there's dishes in the sink. And that's all right. Because you know what? It tells me that I had friends who were willing to come over and hang out with me. And I didn't ask them to come over, hang out with me so they can wash the dishes. I wanted them to come over so we could hang out together and talk story and get to know one another. And if they leave and the house is messy, that means I had friends. If your house is messy, that means there's life in the house. If your house was clean and spotless, I mean, maybe nobody's living there. Yeah, you ever go to the house where the person's like not living there no more? They maybe died and went someplace else and whatever. The house is clean. The house stays clean. I don't want that. That's why when my house is messy, I just tell my wife, we have life. Life in this house. And that's a good thing. So we went over like probably like 50-something one another's in the last 4 to 5 weeks. Go back through your stuff and look to these one another's. Look how you can take care and live these one another's. And the messages are all posted online in audio form. You can listen to them, help them remind you, because there's a whole world out there with eyes on us, seeing how we treat one another as Christians, how we are united, how we love, how we encourage one another. And when they see us doing these one another's to one another, they will say, I want to be a part of that one another. Can I be a part of your one another group? Sure thing. Come on down. Check it out. Because doing these one another's will help us become such a tight-knit family. And people will want that. Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to close in prayer. Where'd the rain come from? Guess we're not cutting grass today, right? Somebody back there was praying for rain for their water tank. You know why it rained, yeah? I went out there yesterday and I sprayed poison on all those stumps. It always happens that way, yeah? But that's okay. God is still good and he is still in control. Amen? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to give you a chance. If anyone has never said yes to inviting Jesus into their hearts, I'll give you this chance right now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me.
Change me.
Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that we would take these one another's and put it into action. that we would love one another, encourage one another, be in harmony with one another. Everything, Lord. We pray that we would apply it into our lives. And as the people watch, that they would be encouraged and that they would want to come and join your family. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word and your scripture, the Bible. Your word, your mind imprint that will tell us right way and wrong ways to live. Right thoughts and wrong thoughts. We love you, Lord. We're thankful and grateful for you, your grace, your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, so don't forget, next week, Sunday, rain or shine, but you guys can pray for sunshine. That would be nice. Right after service, we're going to head to Coconut Island, and we're going to baptize people, and we're going to eat together and have a blast together. If you want to bring your fishing poles, that would be great. We had a blast. Had some papillos come up last time. Had some balloon fish come up last time. But we all had fun. All right? So why don't we stand and sing together?
Greatest day in history.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.